Welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
We are studying the subject of prayer, as you probably already know if you follow the Beacon broadcast regularly. We come to an important text on prayer in 1 John 5:14 and 15, coming very close to the close of this five-chapter first epistle written by the Apostle John as guided and guarded by the Holy Spirit of God. Here's what it says. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. Well, another one of these statements about prayer that is sometimes misunderstood, but it needs to be examined carefully. Prayer is something that we need to exercise, we need to do. That's the main thing. It's not so much that we need to understand it, though we need to understand as much about it as we possibly can, but there's always going to be a rather large element of mystery in prayer. But the main thing is, we need to do it. But I think the better we do understand what the Bible reveals about it, the more likely we are to be faithful in exercising prayer. We have divided this text into three parts. Number one is confidence in prayer. Number two is petitions of prayer. And number three is God's will in prayer. The first one, confidence in prayer, we've already covered, and it just simply boils down to this. To be able to approach God in effective prayer, number one, we need to be born again. We need to know that we are a child of God and therefore have a standing before God. We have an access to His throne that is only possible if we have been robed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, imputed, that is, given freely, and applied to the account of those who trust in Jesus. But the second thing is that we need to have assurance that we are saved. We studied verse 13, chapter 5, verse 13, on the topic of assurance rather thoroughly. And one of the things we learned is that it is possible to be saved, but not to know it, or not to be certain about it. And of course, if you're not certain about it, then you don't have much confidence before Him in prayer. But if you are a genuine born-again believer and have a Bible-based assurance of salvation, then you have the confidence that is necessary to go to God in prayer. Now, this is the confidence that we have in Him. But we need to study the other two aspects, and we will continue doing so on this Thursday, February 21. We are thankful that you were able to join us today, and we're grateful for those whose financial gifts keep us teaching God's Word on this station. Petitions of prayer. And this text talks about the scope of our petitions and the limit on our petitions. Now, the scope is rather broad. We have words like anything and whatever we ask. Now, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. Anything, and that's emphatic, by the way, We are told that we may bring anything before the Lord in prayer. And whatever we ask, that's a pretty broad category, isn't it? Whatever we ask. So there is a wide scope to our petitions. We are invited to come and to lay virtually any petition, any need, any desire before the throne of God in prayer. But there are limits as well in the same text. And what is the limit of our petition? The limit is not on what we are allowed to say. There's nothing we cannot say. There's nothing we cannot request. But there is a constraint that relates to prayer's purpose. And that's that phrase, according to His will. Now, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him, according to His will. Now, when you bring that up, some people say, yep, that takes it all back. It's like God hands everything to you with one hand, and then He takes it back with the other hand. Because we are only promised that whatever we ask according to His will is going to be granted. That's right. According to His will. Only petitions that are framed according to God's will are going to be granted. So what this means is that we subject our request to His review. We can ask absolutely anything, but we also have to have the humility, the surrender, the desire that we ask Him to review our requests and to pass on them. Is this according to Your will? And we are therefore willing to have Him reject all inappropriate requests. And if we are not prepared to do that, then we really are not in the right heart attitude to pray effectively anyway. Because we're not God. God is God. We are His creatures. We're not the ruler. We are the servants. We've got to get this relationship right. We're not commanding God. Oh, the blasphemy of some preachers in our day that talk as if we are given authority to command God, and God will do what we command Him to do. That's blasphemy. We don't command God. We approach Him with humble reverence. Yes, we come boldly, but it is with a reverent boldness, a humble boldness, and the humility can be centered right on this phrase, according to His will. We subject our request to His review. We say, this is my heart's desire, O Lord. But does it meet Your will? And if it doesn't, I don't want it. If it doesn't, I'm not asking You to grant it. If it doesn't, I know it won't be good for me. If it doesn't, I know it won't bring glory and honor to Christ, which is the bottom line of everything we do anyway, right? Whatever you do, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, including prayer, do all to the glory of God. Everything must be submitted to the glory of Christ. And so what you need to understand is that prayer is constant renewal of your surrender to God. And again, that's one of the important purposes of prayer. I told you before that prayer is primarily worship, and this is one of the reasons why. Because when we bring our petitions to Him, recognizing that they must always be submitted to His will, and we ought not to desire them if they're not His will. Now, sometimes in our carnality, we do, but we ought not to. And we know that, don't we? And so, therefore, we invite God to reject any request that is inappropriate. And then, in that sense, our prayer is a constant renewal of our surrender to God. We're constantly saying, God, you show me whether this is good. You show me whether this is right. You show me whether this is best. You show me whether this is according to your will. And that makes every prayer, every petition, an act of surrender to God, if we understand what I'm telling you at this time, and of course we do if we understand the text that we're looking at right now. Now, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Now, what does asking according to His will mean anyway? And there are a number of aspects of this, but let's pick up a few that are clear enough. To ask according to His will means to ask from a life that is presently walking in obedience to God. You say, where do you get that? Well, if you'll turn back to 1 John 3:22, you'll find another prayer promise. We covered this several weeks ago, and this spells it out. It says, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Did you catch that one? Another prayer promise, another broad promise. Whatever we ask, we receive of Him. But the statement doesn't stop there. It doesn't have a period after Him. There's a comma, and then it goes on saying, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. That's how we can know that our requests will be favorably received. And that's another way of saying that we're praying according to His will. We're praying out of a life of surrender, a life of obedience, a life that desires to please God, a life that is endeavoring to keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. That's one aspect of what it means to pray according to His will. There's another prayer statement that tells us what it means to pray according to His will, and that one is found in John chapter 14. In the Upper Room Discourse, when Jesus says this in verse 13, and whatever you ask in My name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in My name, I will do it. Well, there's another similar statement. Ask whatever you will, ask anything, but this constraint in My name, which when you're putting all these things together, we need to realize that these are different ways of basically saying the same thing. According to His will means out of a life that is in surrender to His revealed commands. According to His will is the same as praying in Jesus' name, but to pray in Jesus' name is not some kind of a magic formula. To pray in the name of Jesus is not like rubbing Aladdin's lamp and saying, abacadabra, and because you said the right word, abacadabra, then the genie comes. If you said the wrong word, then the genie wouldn't come, but if you said the right word, the genie comes. So if when you say your prayer, you conclude it by saying, I pray this in Jesus' name, that's the right formula, that will make it all come to pass. No. Because actually, praying in Jesus' name doesn't mean saying in Jesus' name. The idea of that our prayers should always conclude by saying in Jesus' name, amen, is actually contrary to the Bible and what this whole phrase means. How do you know that? Well, I'll have to explain that to you on the broadcast tomorrow, so please join me then. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.